From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, out in support of an eighth full-length record called Hallelujah Anyhow, it's his Golden Messenger. Hello, welcome.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
It's MC Taylor along with Phil Cook in our studios today. MC, you are the guy at the center of his Golden Messenger, and are originally from, and you're wearing a Lakers jersey, you're originally from Los Angeles, right? But you haven't been there in a while.
I'm from Orange County, actually, south of LA. I have not lived there for quite some time. I haven't lived in Orange County since I was 17, but I haven't lived in California for 10 years. I live in Durham, North Carolina.
When you were in California, you were in a much different musical genre, making music, right?
Sort of. You're probably talking about like my punk rock and hardcore stuff. That was it was so long ago. It's funny that I must have put that into a bio at some point years ago, and that has definitely stuck. I did grow up. I sort of learned to play music in front of people in punk and hardcore bands. But that didn't last very long for me. I think by the time I was probably 19 or 20, I still to this day have an affection for that kind of music. But by the time I was 20, I was doing something else. I was actually trying to play music more like what I do now.
What was the pull of Durham? I mean, a lot of musicians go to Nashville or Boston or Austin, Texas, but why Durham, North Carolina?
Well, I moved to North Carolina with my wife because we were living in San Francisco and we wanted the experience of living somewhere where our money would go a little further and
so where anywhere but San Francisco.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and we wanted to be able to do some stuff that we weren't going to be able to do in San Francisco, and I had always wanted to live in the South. I've always been drawn to Southern cultures, and I just felt like if I was going to understand the stuff that I love and draw inspiration from, I needed to be there and understand it, gain a deeper understanding of it in its fullness and complexity. And actually Phil, I think, came at it in a similar way as I did.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a big city guy. I love visiting big cities, but I like the experience of a big city to be a temporary thing.
And you're what, upper Midwest?
I was born and raised in Wisconsin, yeah. Quite far away from Mike, but I think he and I both grew up with like similar kind of dreams of elsewhere, and the things that were really resonating with us as kids were like things that really came from a different place in the country that we both were drawn to, and totally on separate journeys just ended up in the same place for the same reason, which was one of the reasons why we became fast friends, because we had shared a lot of journey together, actually, even if we didn't know each other. So
that's true.
The band name, I want to go back to this a little bit. It applies to all sorts of different configurations of people, anything from you to, I mean, there's 6-7 people on this record at times, guest artists as well. It's a very flexible name. How did you first pick His Golden Messenger? And I know that that you have talked about there not being a tremendous story behind it, but how did it originally strike you to call yourself, when you're making music, His Golden Messenger?
I wanted to start working under a name that I could use that would remain consistent, and it would just be kind of like a shelter for like when I'm writing songs. I had come out of being in lots of bands that were, you know, I grew up playing in bands, and with this, you know, illusion or, I mean, we were trying to treat, when I was a kid, we were trying to treat our bands as a democracy, and that became harder as I got older and kind of started to find my voice as a songwriter and realized there has to be a boss of there's lots of room for different types of bosses within a band, but I'm not like trying to have it be a democracy now. I got out of a band that I had been in for about 10 years at the time. This was like in 2000 and six, probably. I was still living in California then. And I just thought, like, I don't want to be in a band anymore. I just want to, like, do this on my own. And I knew that, like, the flip side of that is that I would have to, like, pay for everything. Which, you know, that is what it is. It's just, that's part of it. That's part of the gig. But also, like, that was, like, the start of me trying to learn how to be, like, a good leader of a band, which I'm still learning, you know.
His Golden Messenger, my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Hallelujah Anyhow. You guys have both brought in acoustic guitars. What do you want to play first for us?
Oh, we're going to play a tune called Jenny of the Roses, which is the first song on the record.
Right. Right.
Yes, I've never seen no wages of war. Yes, that's what you told me, baby, that day at the wall. I'm gonna be free roving dancer. Yes, I followed you, baby, while I was looking for the answer. Well, you're trying to break my mind. Always knowing that the lights could change. Oh, my daddy, of the roses, you probably rule the world someday. Then we were running down the King's Highway with a $10 lean. You were 20 steps in front of me now. Didn't it rain? Didn't it thunder? Yes, ripping the highway when you were caught under. Well, you're trying to break my mind, always knowing that the lights could change. All my jetty of the roses, let me fall on you down where the dead river ends, where we met before us, where we'll meet again. And I wonder, yes, I wonder. The darkness, it's just a different kind of light. Well, you're trying to tell me something. Didn't it rain? Didn't it thunder? Yes, ribbons are highway when you were caught under. Well, you're trying to break my mind, always knowing that the lights could change. Oh, my daddy, while the road is, let me follow you down. Take pleasure in the rain, down at the wall, where they all know your name. And I wonder,
that is Jenny of the Roses, His Golden Messenger, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. MC Taylor, Phil Cook are in the studios today. What is the backstory of that one?
I don't know if
I know a lot of your songs you leave wide open for interpretation.
I'm always hesitant to talk about songs, and it feels a little curmudgeonly to be that way, and yeah. I don't mean to come off as trying to keep something from people when they want it, but I really have this sense now when information is so immediately at our fingertips that mystery is a beautiful thing. Yeah. So I'm probably not going to say what is behind the songs.
That's fair enough.
I've been asked a lot, especially with this record, from different publications to like do a track by track explication of the record. And that's not really my vibe.
I mean, we can definitely talk about, the vibe of being in the studio and the band playing live and what that felt like, though. So that kind of insight is pretty cool. And yeah. I think that we made this record in this is my fourth or fifth record being with Mike, playing and recording with him and being a part of that process. And every record we do, kind of, we're just figuring out these little things. And the way we did this one is, I think, head and shoulders above the other ones in terms of the takeaway, how we feel about it now after making it, how we feel about bringing the songs out. Like, you know, when you toil over a record and you go over all these details and, you know, make sure everything is perfect, you end up sort of remaining in that, like, perfection-minded pursuit. You know, even afterwards, you can't hear it. You know what I mean? But the way we made this one was, you know, in a lot of ways, an older way of doing things, mm-hmm. where we just, you know, we went on the road and we workshopped all the songs in front of people that, you know, we had no pressure to do anything. We could have easily done like his greatest hits and trying to sell people on whatever, but we literally played brand new music for us
That was the Heart Like a Levy tour. That was a part of the Heart Like a Levy touring. We just started playing, playing any Heart Like a Levy songs.
Jumped into all new songs, but in that process, we got to live in those songs for long enough that by the time we got to the studio and we set all the mics up and we had everyone just had their stations, you know, I mean, we basically cut this record on the floor, you know, mm-hmm. I think almost everything is live. You know, almost half the vocal takes are even just live. It's just, that's the take of us. That's what our band sounds like. And, you know, so a song like Jenny of the Roses, I mean, we just, you know, by the time we get into that studio, there's just an energy and a spark that just felt so unified, and everyone was there on the same page and weren't caring so much about the chord changes flying by and we got to learn this song today and then cut it. It was more like we were looking around at each other and we didn't have to look down at our hands. We knew these songs really well.
Yeah.
So I personally took away from this record, like, I don't know if I want to make a record any other way, because I feel proud of what I was able to contribute to this, and I feel proud of what the band achieved together, and I feel proud of Mike's songs in a way that just feels really different than it has before, in a cool way, just like earning it the old school way, just paying your dues, pay all those dues. This is how our band sounds. Uh-huh. You know,
I was reading online that the first guitar in your life was your dad's.
Yeah.
Was he a musician as well? Professional or just played at home?
He played at home. He had bands when he was a teenager, this would have been in Southern California in the mid-60s, so folk music, sort of the Peter, Paul, and Mary variety was really popular. He loves Peter, Paul, and Mary and loves the Beatles. And so he did have a couple bands that were actually great. And then, you know, he became a teacher. He played around the house all the time. Like, I know the sound of his guitar really well.
It still exists? It's still around, that guitar?
Oh, yeah, totally. Wow. Yeah, yeah. No, that guitar is, it's going to have to take a supernatural act to do something to that guitar. It's a Martin D28. And it's just like kind of, in my mind, the archetype of what a acoustic guitar should sound like.
You think we'll ever hear it on one of your records? Either in your hands or his?
Has it been on a... I mean, I have actually played it on some recordings. It's not like so precious that it like stays in a vault or anything. It's more like there's a geography gulf between us. Like he's in California. Yeah. I'm sure that we will. It's an incredible instrument, but incredible really for emotional reasons for me. Yeah. I think it sounds incredible. I don't know if it's like the greatest sounding instrument in the world, but.
Phil, you were talking about that recording process, and it struck me that, MC, you were talking about the draw of Durham, the draw of that sort of southern life, the southern speed, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds very similar to, Phil, the way you were describing that recording process of just bringing people together until it all kind of comes together like a slow-cooked stew or something like that. That no particular rush. Yeah. It'll be ready when it's ready, and when it's ready, it's right.
Yeah. I think that Phil and I and all of the people that we are lucky enough to work with, either as musicians or just like sort of in other supporting roles, because we have a bunch of people around us that aren't necessarily musicians, but we probably couldn't do this the way we are without them. We're all very careful and sort of sensitive about our relationship to the South, what we learn from the South, being around people that are Southern, that have a very nuanced and deep take on what it means to be from the South in the 21st century. And I think that as musicians and as a band playing music that is inspired by Southern vernacular music, call it, we're not trying to like play dress up. That's, you know what I mean? Like, but we are trying to understand the essence of what makes the records that we love work. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that makes like records where the Swampers were the band? Why does that work? Like, what is it about a rhythm section that like ticks in that way? So, you know, it's been like a pretty deep study, I think, in terms of understanding how to take these lessons that we've learned living in the South and put them into our music in a genuine way, like in a way that feels honest and like this is we're saying something new and personal, using tools that are old.
His Golden Messenger live in the studios today. The newest record is called Hallelujah Anyhow. MC Taylor, Phil Cook are here today. You got another tune for us?
Yeah, we're going to play a tune called Caledonia, My Love. Caledonia, won't you come to me? 12 pieces of silver and gold in your teeth. Said good King John, many fathoms deep. From the fire of the morning to the blood of the evening. Yes, Caledonia, my love. Won't you come? 12 pieces of silver and gold in your teeth. Said the wandering one with a dark-eyed hue. Yes, he lives in wild places and he don't love you. Yes, the betters of the angels. Sit and cry for nothing and some die in the rushing.
Yes, Caledonia, my love, won't you come to me? 12 pieces of silver. Said the mother and father with a child of three, all freedom ain't nothing when you've never been free. Yes, Caledonia, my love, won't you come to me? 12 pieces of silver and golden you see. Said the lonely child, little Rosalie, oh, freedom ain't nothing when you've never been free.
That is His Golden Messenger live on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from the record Hallelujah Anyhow. So this record came out less than a year after Heart Like a Levee.
Yep.
And that came out with an additional record.
Yes.
Is songwriting something that comes quickly to you, or did you have a catalog of songs ready to go back then?
It comes quickish. I mean, when I'm off the road, I'm spending my days.
I mean, 3 albums in less than a year is like Ryan Adams' pace.
It hasn't felt like, no point was sweat running down my brow. Yeah. I don't know. It's something that I love to do. And there are many things musical that I'll never be able to do. Like what Phil does, I'm never going to be able to do what Phil does. But I love songwriting, and I'm always very happy to sit down with an instrument and try and, like, conjure up a melody. You know what I mean? Like, that is a good melody is a timeless thing. That's the thing that kind of keeps me afloat. When you sort of look out into this musical landscape and are wondering where my place is, where our place is in it, it's like, a good melody never goes out of fashion.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, obviously the songwriting is a part of the way you go about making a living. How do you balance that with your obsession for reading? I know you're a big voracious book reader.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I had never thought about that.
I mean, there are the same number of hours in your day as there are in ours, right?
I know. That's my one complaint, and that sometimes seems like there's not enough hours. Phil and I both have 2 little kids too, so.
So now there's no time for anything.
Oh, no.
You have once said that you don't have any interest in approaching music academically, and you try to do things and create things either alone or with collaborators that give you goosebumps.
Yeah.
Who is doing that for you now, in the music world or outside the music world? Whose artistic work gives you goosebumps?
We have a lot of people. I mean, I think this is an incredible time for music again. We're in another part in our country's history where artists really matter, and artists are also reaching deeper inside themselves to actually find out what they're really made of and, you know, what they're actually doing it for. I mean, so I feel like I'm seeing artists that I know have been in the game for a while that are reaching a little bit deeper and actually kind of coming back to center about what they're doing this for. So, you know, we were hanging out last night with 2 people that I think we're talking about. So, like, we got to play with and... we're good friends with Patterson Hood from the Drive-By Truckers. So Patterson played with us last night. You know, we hung out late with that guy. And, you know, he is, I think, the epitome of somebody who reaches down and goes straight for the jugular on what is on the pulse of on people's minds. And where, you know, I think he's never shied away from any topic and writes about it from a perspective and an angle that I think is... just always going to be inspiring for people like Mike and I. And then we were hanging out with our friend Tamara Lindemann, who performs under the name The Weather Station. And we think her new record, which is like her 5th, 6th, or 7th, she just put out the best record she's ever done. Mm-hmm. She had found something. And I think part of it is really cool to watch people kind of arriving at this thing. And then 2 nights before that, we were in Vancouver, and we have a good friend named Frazee Ford who came out and sang with us. And she's right now, I think she's in the middle of writing what's going to be what I can only imagine is the best thing she's ever done, like for sure. Cool. And I mean, you know, we've been in this game for 20 plus years, Mike and I have. I mean, it's really exciting to actually feel that new energy at this point. You know what I mean? It's really cool. I mean, I'm so thankful for it. I'm like, right. Oh my God, this is great. It's not just like, you know, it's not just me like reaching back and just rooting through record bins of shit that happened 50 years ago, which we do every day.
Yeah. It's got to be a similar feel to the way we feel when there's a new His Golden Messenger. Right? Well, I would love to hear one more tune. What do you want to wrap up with today?
Sure. We're going to play a song called When the Wall Comes Down. Guess what you're gonna do when the wall comes down, when the wall comes down. Here's what you gotta do is let it lie, let it lie. Yes, in the gathering darkness fire, you never go back. It was built by man, and you can tear it down, tear it down. You step back, Jack, from the darkness. Here's what you're gonna do when the shackles fall, when the shackles fall. Here's what you gotta do is melt them down, melt them down. Why turn them into tools and make a garden on the prison ground? Why turn your chains to roses, child? Tear it down, tear it down. You step back, Jack, from the darkness. I'm gonna sing just like a song of good. Guess what you're gonna do when the hunger's gone, when the hunger's gone. Yes, pity the child who goes without, goes without. Why give them no reason to falter? No, 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 on this way out. It's a beautiful world, but painful child. Tear it down, tear it down. You step back, Jack, from the darkness. When I'm here, I'm gonna sing just like a songbird. Thank you.
That is When the Wall Comes Down. His Golden Messenger, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. MC Taylor and Phil Cook are my guests. The newest record is called Hallelujah Anyhow. Phil Cook's latest, by the way, Southland Mission. That one came out in 2015. Guys, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
So glad to be here.